When he says we, he means he, not I. Look at that! Welcome, everybody, to a very special After Disaster. I'm Anderson, that is Mike. There's Tyler playing sound effects. And that song that you just heard, you may know best from AndersonCowan.com, because there's a fantastic video of it up there on AndersonCowan.com. And, of course, it is Fart Barf, who sits right before us right now. We're excited to have a guest on the show.
We're nervous, actually.
It's weird, but your microphone should be turned on, and Tyler's going to get to that. Oh, now I know how it feels.
Josh, get right on your mic. Yeah.
Hello.
Don't be afraid of the black phallic thing.
Oh, there we go.
Even though it's got someone else's gross spit and germs all over it.
Smells great.
So we've had guests on the show before, but we've never specifically worked around having a guest on the show. Because, frankly, there's never been a guest worthy of working around to have on the show.
And, thanks.
Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We're super
excited. You guys for driving up early.
Oh, yeah.
So Farpar's going to be on the after show as well, Loveline. I don't know if we're streaming live anywhere right now. I don't think we are.
Nope, we're not.
Fantastic. So once you have, by the time you've heard this, they've already appeared on Loveline.
We're not?
Man, Loveline was great.
They're such swell guys.
So I meet tons and tons of bands, obviously working at Loveline for 15 years. Oh, it works. And I don't really care about anyone, but honestly, I get nervous when I'm around you guys. It's weird. It's really strange. I'm nervous right now.
Oh, man.
Listeners know that I'm not myself right now.
I know. I can see that. You got restless leg syndrome.
I always have that.
His being starstruck is very, very, it comes in odd times and places.
It's strange. Wow. It's like Robert De Niro, Ween, and you guys.
That's good company, though.
For me,
good
it's company. Martha Stewart, Chrissy Hind, and someone else, so I can't remember now.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So for those of you who have been listening to the show, you guys have heard of Fart Barf. Let me explain my first introduction to Fart Barf, which was I was actually sitting in this very studio doing this very show, and Mike Catherwood, who was in a band, what was the name of the band?
Murder on the 405.
Yeah, Murder on the 405, which I liked that band. And I was trying, because he's horrible at self-promotion, and he never mentioned it on Loveline. And I'm like, hey, we could talk about it on the After Disaster a little bit. So he invited us down, and he's like, and then you got to stick around for this band called Fart Barf. And I'm like, there's no fucking way.
Sounds about right.
No fucking way I'm going to stick around for Fart Barf. And he goes, no, Fart Barf shreds. They rip. Totes. Gotta come down. So
it wasn't a convincing sell on that. Just like, oh yeah, you love them, dude. They rip. We're like, okay, all right.
I was picturing speed metal, honestly. Uh-huh. Like death all speed metal about fucking babies or something. It's just with a name like that, right? And I ended up getting a little drunk at the Murder on the 405 show.
Perfect.
And then Fart Barf happened. And I'm lucky enough that there's a picture of me on your website, at least there was, just a random pictures of crowd shots.
Yes.
And one of them is probably within the first 30 seconds of me experiencing Fart Barf. And the picture says it all. I'm just standing there in awe. It looks like I'm at the altar or something.
Where was that at? Do you remember?
It was at the Dive.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In Redondo.
Okay. Everybody's dancing and moving, and Anderson's just standing there with his mouth open.
Yeah. Wow. It's mouth agape. I'm just awestruck.
Yeah, that was the show with the sick LED screen in the background.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Tyler, turn yourself up a little bit. I can't believe it.
I need each guy to talk for a second because some of them are super hot and some of them are not.
They're all hot in my eyes.
Hello, this is Josh speaking.
This is Dan.
I need to know which mic.
Dan's is way too low.
Number one. I'm guest one.
It's true. That's why we call it the After Disaster. Josh is two.
Guest two coming in.
Guest three. I think mine is hot.
Brian's burning my ears.
Brian's burning hot.
Can you hear yourself, Dan?
Burning up for your love, Dan.
Nothing?
So since then.
Wait. He's not on.
Oh, I can't hear Dan.
Dan's never on.
Dan's on.
Just like at a live show, I can't hear Dan.
Dan's on for sure.
Hey,
don't listen to Mike. Mike's half dressed.
I can't hear him. at all.
Hello?
Wait, there's Dan.
There I am.
Hey, leave us in one, too, Ty.
Yeah.
So since then, I and Mike and Tyler and everyone else, as far as I can tell, we talk about you guys and try and push Fart Barf on everybody.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Awesome.
It's always the same thing. It's always like, Fart what? No, the name is tough. It's a struggle.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's a hard sell.
But once people do find you, it's usually the same mouth agape, I can't believe what I'm watching thing that I experienced when I first saw you. And one of the greatest mysteries in my life as far as pop culture goes is why you guys don't own a tent at Coachella or why you guys don't. I don't understand. It just doesn't make sense.
We're simple-minded. That's one of our greatest mysteries. We don't give a shit about everything else. Happiness, pursuits of anything.
Mathematically, it doesn't add up why you guys haven't blown up.
I agree with that, but I don't think that's a... worthy topic to talk about why they're not huge on it.
Well, no, I think because I
what other problems have you guys had? Yeah. Credit card debt? Anything? What's going on?
I think you guys are kind of weary, right?
I don't even know how that stuff works. Like, does it work without a record label? We're not really pushing for any kind of.
Didn't Beyonce just release something without a record label?
Well, yeah, but she's already established.
There's that Jay-Z thing too. Right?
There's
like.
Wow, good now. That's what it is.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah, he's got the bass.
I'm gonna turn up the AC.
I had the same experience as these guys did. Like the first time I saw you, frankly, it didn't sound like something I would be into. Mm-hmm. Keyboards, drums, vocoder, and I was blown away. And I've probably seen you 8 or 9 times, and every time it really is. And I've seen a lot of bands because I'm old, and I have never been disappointed in a Farparf show, and I sort of associate it with another one of my favorite bands, the Beat Farmers from San Diego from more than 20 years ago. It's always having a good time. Never once left there going, that wasn't the best show, they didn't give it 100%, and it's just a fantastic amalgamation.
That's awesome. Because
the songs are great, and regardless of the masks, you know, the instrumentation, the songs are so good, you can't help but just be like, how can you not dig this? And I have dragged hardcore speed metal people. I've dragged Ultimate Fighter crazy fighter guys. and they go and they're like, it's on. I'm going. It's amazing. And I dragged people to the whiskey. Then those same people that live in Fullerton came to the.
See what I'm saying?
Room.
Mathematically, it doesn't make sense. You guys don't own the world. No, that's all I'm saying.
I think you need to get in front of an audience
on a slow and steady.
Well, I think it helps that we have a record now.
Yeah, now we actually have something.
That's
time
leaps and bounds.
What,
yeah.
Six,
yeah.
5 years we have had nothing.
It's almost five. It's not five yet.
Yeah.
We're
okay.
Not five.
We're pushing five.
When I was asking you a couple years ago, Josh, I was saying, when's the record? And you just looked at me straight faced, and you're like, it's just stupid. It's just so fucking stupid.
It was so stupid.
Now, you guys probably haven't done enough press that you're bored with the question, but like, where did you guys begin? How did it all start? Do you have a story for us?
Where did it all start? Well, let's see. I started collecting synthesizers a long time ago, probably mid-90s is when I got my first synth. And ever since then, those things are really addictive once you start kind of messing around with them. Me along with the other dudes in the band, we all came from like a punk and like a thrash metal background, so diving into synths was a whole new world. They could get different sounds than like guitars could get, so it was just kind of a fun thing to tap into. And then I was
to be honest, I had never even like played a synthesizer really until I met this guy.
And he's like, here, push these buttons.
He's like, check this out, this is cool. And I was like, oh no.
What were you playing
really
before
cool.
that, Dan?
I think I was just playing with myself more or less a lot.
Nothing's changed.
I used to play a lot.
So we're all missing Farparf.
So did you guys play, like, okay, so then you're like, we need to have some kind of rhythm section, so you got percussion.
Yeah, there's probably about, I don't know how many months went by.
It was about
8 or 9 months or so. We ended up just getting like a rehearsal space where we could play loud instead of...
Yeah, with the cooler and what have
yeah,
you.
Instead of like a bedroom. So we got the rehearsal space and just literally got in there with a cooler full of beers and stayed there for like 9-10 hours on end, just jamming out, zoning out, just making weird patches and power chords on keyboards instead of guitars. So during that time, we were kind of sharing a whole building with a bunch of other different bands, and we just had friends come over, people from different bands. They'd be knocking on the door like, what the hell is that sound? It sounds friggin' awesome. I don't know what that is, but can we just come and hang out here and listen to that? And...
Or
enough people just
kind of
wanted us to start. Yeah, enough people just really wanted us to start playing shows.
Uh-huh.
And that's when we were just kind of like, I've seen a lot of electronic acts play without live drums, and it's the worst experience of my life.
Right.
Like, it's just.
Did you go to Kraftwerk last week?
Yeah, I was at Kraftwerk.
And?
I don't know why they got a free pass for me, but they did. They didn't play anything either, they just stood there. But
I always leave during the keyboard exclusions.
Yeah.
Like when it's just nothing but keyboard and they go on a keyboard jam, I usually go to the bathroom.
No, it was the first time I've ever seen them, and probably, God, they're old as hell now, so it might be the last.
Makes sense mathematically as well.
Yeah, so, I don't know, they were awesome. But, yeah, we needed a drummer, and our buddy Eric, he introduced us to Brian here, and we just started jamming and got a set together and played our first show in 2009, I believe.
That's early. All right, cool.
Yeah,
I felt like I was way late, which I was kind of late. We were all kind of late, but I couldn't believe
we were in the age of there were only like 4 videos on YouTube, and it was just that outdoor performance.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That's pretty early. Yeah, I would explain
to people Fartbarf, and they'd immediately, you know, we live in the day and age. They're like, I'll see Fartbarf, and I'd be like, at a pristine studio.
Yeah, like, I don't like that people have access to everything.
I remember when I was first trying to tell everyone after I saw you guys first, I was at Fox Sports, and I was in this big director room, you know, where the technical director is, and this was during a commercial, and the guy's like, all right, let's look up Fartbarf. And the only thing you'd find was that outdoor thing, and they're like, yeah, Anderson, I'm not so sure. I'm like, fuck no, it's better than that.
Yeah.
Same thing happened at Game Show Network, actually. I was working over there. I'm like, you guys have to see Fartbarf. Maybe they have something better online now. And you guys didn't. No, it was straight to that daytime thing.
That's like the first time we played My Hometown, too. And,
which is?
San Pedro.
Okay.
And it's like.
Home of
there's a lot
Petros Papadakis.
Yeah, and Mike Watt and Minutemen and all that stuff. So there's kind of like this, DIY sort of punk scene there, and I think like we fit into that, but don't, you know, we would by like 80s standards. Yeah.
No,
yeah, exactly. So it's like, I think that show was kind of like weird to where people didn't know what to make of us, you know,
hey,
which is
music,
usually probably the case. But.
If Music Plus or Tower Records still existed, where would they put you guys?
Sam Goody?
Goody good.
Where the hell would they? I don't know. That's weird. That's a weird question.
Okay,
we're genre list, really. I don't know what the hell we'd be considered.
Hopefully
obviously.
Next to like Michael Jackson or Janet Jackson. That would be awesome.
Right in between them.
Or Michael Jackson.
Michael McDonald.
Which brings the next question, like where did the name come from? I'm honestly, guys. Who are you trying to scare away with that name? Everyone?
Pretty much everyone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just kind of like, fuck you, we're great, we know it, but just in case we fail, we can blame it on the name.
Well, it's like they
that's what I do all the time.
They had the name. I think I tried out or I played with you guys and you guys already had t-shirts but didn't play anywhere. it was like
You had
t-shirts before we played a show.
No, I think we didn't play any shows until maybe we did.
Yeah, so it seemed like there was like it was like already we're Fartbarf.
Were we that stupid for negotiation
or anything?
Does anyone remember where the name came from?
No.
Or it's just like you guys had headaches and there were shirts.
Yeah,
the next day.
that's what happened.
And when I went to play with them, there was already masks on the wall.
So the masks. We had those masks.
But those
were there.
That was because Halloween
masks.
It was because of Halloween.
Yeah, the masks. That was a whole other thing too.
Those were there for Halloween. Well, from Halloween, and then we decided we were going to use them for a show. No. We didn't decide we were going to use those. We just had them hanging up.
That's what I'm saying.
Where did they come from?
They came from a costume shop in Arizona that was closing down. They'd been there since the 20s, I want to say, and they had one of those masks up on eBay that I saw on my hunt for creepy latex masks.
It is terrifying.
That I do every day. Yeah. So I saw one of them, and I emailed the people selling it, and I said, do you have any more of these, just because they're so disturbing? And she kind of went on a tangent saying, like, oh, yes, I have a whole box of them. My husband's store is closing. I'll sell them. I've got, like, 16 or 17 of them left. I'll sell them to you each for, like, $2.50.
Wow.
So I was like, just give me all of them.
Wow.
Nice.
And then that's when she kind of told me a story. She's like, yeah, they're from, like, the... I want to say that initial run that we had was from the late 40s, those masks.
Those ones are so nasty.
Ones that I ended up contacting her again because they started rotting away. She actually had like another 5 sitting around, and I think those were made from the 60s, but they're all really old.
They're from
Germany too. So
they were from like one of the Germanies when it was divided, right?
Yeah, we don't know
which German. Oh, those got to be East German.
It just makes them more creepy. They're from Germany.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
From the 40s from Germany. I was thinking that they're like really bad like 2001 Space Odyssey costumes or Planet of the Apes costumes.
That'd be awesome too though.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So $2.50.
They're from the
$2.50.
Yeah, they're cheap.
Good markup now, because I think you guys, you kids, if you're interested in finding the Fartbarf mask, I think you can find them for $500 on eBay.
Any regrets about the masks?
Always.
Every day
because
for you, Dan.
You know, Kiss.
Kiss
has to look back. At least my opinion, if you're Paul Stanley, you're fucked. Because you got to keep in shape. Your chest is always exposed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He really can totally let himself go.
I saw Paul Stanley at
Parachute
Starbucks.
Pants?
Yeah. When, like, I was,
yeah. Santa Monica?
I was so staring.
Yeah.
I was so bad. I was with my son. He's looking at me. He's like pulling my arm. And I'm like,
He was like, stop staring at the man,
yeah,
Daddy.
Yeah,
what are you
like,
doing?
Come on. Yeah, like, stop.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mixed blessing because we won't age, you know. We won't age.
Plus,
if any of us,
yeah, one of you dies, you could be replaced pretty easily.
We're thinking longevity with the masks and the big oversized
jumpsuits.
And
we're not the youngest guys. I wouldn't want to see me on a stage.
It's mesmerizing.
Right.
It's strangely intoxicating because when you're caught up in the music and you're just watching. It's absolutely...
For the listener who might still be very confused and is not familiar with Fart Barf, and we're talking about these masks, they're simian masks. They make them look like monkeys, and they wear them on stage. And from directing that little short video that we did with you guys, I watched hours and hours of you guys performing that one small night, and I could tell Dan liked his mask the least of all, I think, from examining that footage. And that's probably why yours was so ripped at one point. Like, your jaw was literally hanging from its thread for a while.
Yeah, mine started falling. It went downhill pretty... I think Brian's actually
Yeah,
started,
they all reached like a half-life
they got,
half life
they got
point
to a point where the alcohol and stuff just getting...
Right.
Just soaking it. I don't know, the latex.
You're constantly ripping the mouth open so you can booze up or put it on the top of your head.
I think mine lasted 130-something shows, and then it was just like melting to itself.
It was like Iron Man.
Yeah, the latex... Yeah, it was just that old latex starts... It coagulates and just basically turns into glue.
How many masks have there been?
So see him before the face cancer sets in.
Yeah, we went through... Oh, well. We went through... That's not a funny
joke. There's basically been three runs. And
it's going to be hardcore when those just melt onto your guys' faces and it becomes like a prophecy.
Yeah,
you guys actually...
Yeah, we're going to be like that Twilight Zone.
How do you...
It's going to be like Dr. Doom.
Mm-hmm. Brian is the drummer. How do you hear?
I have... Well, when we first started, we used to just place...
Oh, no, but I mean, do you have monitors?
I have in-ear monitors now, but when we started for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, we just used to have this bass amp combo that we would just blast the shit out of right in my right
into
side.
His head.
And by the end of the show, like, because the bass amp couldn't handle his frequencies, it would literally just be making like... Like, there was no noticeable notes.
Why you're always the first to leave? You're like, fuck this, I'm out of here. I can't hear shit.
Yeah.
After the show, Brian's always the first to bail. Yeah.
I know we're apprehensive about being ass kissers, and sometimes we go the opposite direction.
It makes us feel uncomfortable.
I did it with Mike Ness.
We don't know how to like things.
I kissed Mike Ness's ass for 5 minutes. I walked around the block, and I went, fuck, I got to go back. And I went back, and I kind of took it all back. And then I walked around, and I came back, and I went, I'm sorry I took that back. I meant that voice. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, man.
And I just felt like such a jackass. But the band really is great. And
thanks.
And the drumming is a huge component to this band because it's
so it was crucial.
Rock solid. But it's not just drumming. It's
he's tired by the end.
It is absolutely musical. It blows me away every single time. And the more I see you guys, the tighter you get. That show a couple nights ago was probably the tightest show I've ever seen, like just at least from an audience perspective.
That's good.
It was just rocks right on.
You were at Alex's bar or?
Pasadena.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, Old Town. I love that place.
Yeah.
I had some problems at that one for at least one song, but that was like technical difficulties, but yeah. But thank you.
Yeah. If you get a chance and you live in Southern California, were you guys touring anything like that? You got anything like that in the works yet?
No tour, but
we're not against it. Let's put it that way. But we haven't thought that far ahead. But it's probably the next step to get the album out to different places. You know,
get a chance, go see these guys before you're going to be standing too far away because they're definitely great as an intimate band and getting really up close and personal. And I love that you guys still come out and like you set up your own shit. And at first I was like, why don't they come out
don't
and
say
have
that.
Their
we
masks
set up
on.
Our own shit.
Yeah, hold on a second. Those
thing.
Are our roadies.
Those
setting
are
our roadies. Stuff.
Yeah.
We are
not.
I love
those
guys are
total
that.
Assholes.
Yeah.
No.
I love the fact that you do that. Later on, Mike Catherwood might be interviewing you and talking to you guys on the after show called Loveline, and he'll use other voices
show,
like
show.
Gene Simmons might come in. That's really Gene Simmons. All right, so don't blow his cover like I just did for you.
Right.
But.
Is Gene Simmons trying to sell everything?
Every time he comes on the show, he always tells Drew and Mike that they owe him like $75 million or something for his appearance.
Right. That's probably accurate.
So have you turned away record labels? Or like in today's day and age, I don't even understand how the music industry works. I don't know if anyone does.
Yeah,
I don't either.
I mean,
I don't know if I want to know from what I've heard.
I've heard nothing but evil things, like up close and personal from working in here for so long, and I'm meeting so many of them, both sides.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think the only benefit I could see from labels now is maybe tour support, but I don't think it's really... I mean, I love going to record shops. I still do, but I don't think it's necessarily essential for bands anymore. I don't... As sad as that sounds, but...
It really is just for promotion nowadays,
right,
because
right.
they have the connections to get people to hear it.
Distribution, promotion.
Yeah, I think distribution and tour support is like the only benefit. But
speaking of which, as people are listening to this, your album is finally available. I first heard of this at the El Cid a few months ago when you announced it, Josh, that the new album was going to be available on April. And I'm like, yes? And you said first. And I'm like, fuck! He's lying!
He totally did not believe it. He came in here and he was like, yeah, those fuckers, you know what they told me?
Guys.
April 1st. I get it. Real funny joke. But that is definitely not the case, that the record is available. And where can they get it?
Fartbarf.com, of course.
That makes perfect sense, I guess.
That's so simple.
And it's P-H-A-R-T or is it F-A-R-T? It's
it would be the F-A-R-T.
The actual Fart Barf.
We're keeping the names
real. Who would have known that domain was open?
Actually,
we definitely pwned that domain name before we started. Yeah,
surprising that your masks and your domain name didn't come from Germany.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Farting is too docile for Germans. Is,
right? I should also point out, fart is my least favorite word in the English language, yet Fart Barf is my favorite band that is currently together. You guys are only really eclipsed by Ween, but they broke up.
For me. Oh, did they break up?
Yeah, they broke up. Wow. You're not a Ween fan, obviously.
No, not super diehard, but yeah, I appreciate it.
When did they break up?
Yeah.
After the Burger King commercial?
It's been like 3 years ago. They didn't do any Burger King commercials. What are you guys talking about?
I thought that
maybe Weezer.
No.
Confused all the time.
They got hired to do I think it was a Burger King commercial. Well, it didn't play.
Okay.
They got
hired. Where'd the cheese go? I have that in my 360.
See, I thought you were a Ween fan. No, for Christ's sake,
Hut,
man.
That's why. Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut.
There you go. Sorry.
And they fucked with them good.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons why I absolutely love that band. Yeah.
Yes, they're great.
But it goes Ween, but they're dead now. Fart Barf, and then like Duran Depeche Mode and The Cure.
Wow.
And now there's a record that I can listen to in my car.
Right.
So very excited.
We hope you like it.
Yeah. It's up for debate. I haven't heard it yet. So. I know I like you guys live quite a bit. So what else? Anything else to plug? Anything else? You guys have any misgivings about Loveline coming up here? What's your biggest concern? Looking Drew in the eye and being judged?
Yeah.
You worried about that?
Yeah, that's going to be a little weird.
I haven't really listened to it in a while, so I'm wondering.
That's a good endorsement.
Hey, I work nights. Let's put it that way.
So do I. It's in here. It's the same old show. It's that confused teenagers and kids in their 20s.
I just thought like love problems are probably way more complicated nowadays, or it's probably way crazier.
I wouldn't call them love problems.
Well, yeah. You know what I
mean. Speaking of love problems.
We've got love problems.
So you married Dan?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, anyone else married? Josh?
No.
Brian?
No.
When you guys meet the ladies outside the shows, have you ever been in a position where it's a little bit hard to explain to them that you're in the side project called Fart Barf? Do you avoid that? Have you ever been in a relationship where you avoided telling them?
No.
I mean, at this point, people...
Wait, why would you avoid it?
Because. Like, I know if I'm at a
other jobs are so much cooler than Fart Barf?
If this show...
I'm in a band.
Let's say this show is called... Fart Disaster.
Yeah.
Instead of the After Disaster.
Well, he wanted to call
it
the
just
After
named
Abortion
tonight's episode.
In the beginning.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Afterbirth is what I wanted to call it. Because it came on after Love Line.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. These guys.
I like that.
The guys from Fart Barf like Afterbirth.
We understand that name.
I didn't like it.
You should be pulling all kinds of tail with that.
If this show is called The After Fart, and I think that, you know, if I was single and I met a girl, I don't know if I'd tell her about it right off the bat. I think I might ease into that one.
You wouldn't start talking about your sweet podcast while hitting on some chick?
Called After Fart? No. Now, whenever I meet anyone, first thing out of my mouth, After Disaster.
All right.
No.
Man. No, I don't know. I mean, I've been in a relationship the whole entire time, so.
Oh, well, that makes it easy then.
Yeah, right? It makes it easy.
And I was up until recently.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Fairly recent. Yeah.
No, Brian's not that recent anymore. But we take the masks off and we go sell merch or go hang out, and no one really knows that we are the people in the band. We're just sweaty dickheads hanging out in the crowd with everyone else.
Why are these guys so damn
sweaty? Plus everyone's so everyone's so drunk.
We actually have a couple friends who have helped us load gear in that I know of, that girls have approached them saying, are you in Fart Barf? And both of them have said yes, and they've had like makeout sessions in the alley.
That makes
just
sense.
Pretending
that's
they're
rad.
Us.
I saw a girl in Redondo, and I'm sure there's a few of them that have Fart Barf tattoos. With the logo.
Wow.
Oh.
Really?
What?
At the Gasser Lounge.
Huh. That's interesting.
When you guys were Cobra Kai.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
That's a while ago, too.
Yeah.
She didn't come up and show
you? There's a bunch of weird people with Fart Barf tattoos. But
why would you not show
they're
them?
They're not weird.
Well, that's true.
Because they're weird.
Carl is not a weird man.
Yeah, Carl's not a weird guy. Carl's awesome.
I think Carl's probably pretty weird.
Carl lives awesome. In Stornoway in Scotland. He's from England. He's an old school punker. And he got like one of our flyers tattooed on his arm where it's just like a Garbage Pail Kid version of us. And it says Fart Barf on top.
Do you question his judgment now?
And he literally got the whole sticker put on there.
He cooks for you or something?
It's just awesome.
Yeah, we definitely yeah.
Crazy Carl.
Crazy Carl, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
And he's got he's got like a combination of all of our lyrics tattooed on his leg that kind of like tell a story. Which is weird.
Which is confusing to you because you wrote it, right? You're like, that's not the meaning behind that.
Yeah, no, he somehow came up with like some weird extended haiku.
Sense how did he find
the leg of Carl? I don't know.
The lyrics are online, right? But are those actually official lyrics or are those just interpretations? Because seeing you guys live, maybe the record's different and it sounds a little more clear.
Did you print the lyrics?
Oh, yeah. No, the lyrics are going to be available in the album only. And I'm talking the LP, the record, the wax.
Hey, if you guys had low self-esteem as much as we do, you would not break up because of that guy's commitment to the band.
Yeah, Carl's, like you feel beholden to him. Like you don't want to let Carl down.
Yeah.
How old's Carl?
Or change the lyrics.
Carl, what is
he's
he?
In his mid-40s?
I was going to hope if he's a little older,
he looks like
he looks like
an old-school skinhead.
Yeah,
like,
I wish I could show you a picture of Carl.
Okay, here's the most important question to me.
Yeah.
Which isn't really that important. I wish I wouldn't have said it.
Oh, no.
Let's start over.
All eyes are on you.
You record this on tape.
Yeah.
No.
On tape? Oh, you mean
two
in the track?
No. Unfortunately.
Okay, seriously, what the fuck?
I know.
Next time.
Yeah, wait, Mike, you want to talk about the finances? Is he earning debt?
We're going analog across the board.
It makes sense that we would, but
I cannot wait to next week give Mike so much shit about, hey, remember that time that you made them feel bad about our
I already forgot this whole thing.
No, don't regret it.
Because I started forgetting I'm on the show and I started just enjoying Anderson's great interviewing technique, which I've never really seen before, and it was good, and
I'm glad we have investors for album number two. We'll be doing it just on 2-inch tape.
When is the next album coming out, guys? Don't you hate that when you finally do something, and then you're going to get that, probably in a week or two. When's the next one?
I just assumed it would have been on tape.
No, it would be nice to do it on tape. It's just expensive.
We went through some gnarly...
Do you see how depressed you've made?
I know, I'm an asshole, too, because I had this big delusion of grandeur that I'm going to make my bedroom into a recording studio and all on tape, and I immediately went to, I'll just put a tube preamp and go right into the computer. Immediately.
Oh, hold on. We definitely just didn't do it that way. That's for damn sure. Yeah, I think a lot of the synth stuff we actually pulled into a digital format from an ADAT tape, if that counts. It's not 2-inch, but... and then beyond that, we did the drums separately, and that went through like some gnarly, like, what are those? Neve preamps that were like the cost of a jumbo jet each, and then it went into like the board that NWA recorded on, so... There's a lot of analog gear there. It's just the final
still
dump down to went into approach.
It might have AIDS.
So there you go.
It's could have AIDS.
No tape.
Cop teeth wedged in the.
Might have AIDS.
It might have AIDS.
So sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sad.
Sorry. Bring it down. So how many songs do you guys have total?
On the album, there's 10.
Right.
I think total we've got 13 or something.
Not
13.
Yeah.
Not to get down depression lane again, but you guys, like the very first time you were in there for 8 to 10 hours, like back in 2008, 2009, and you got 13 songs.
Oh, you're
total.
You're counting those songs?
I'm counting like songs that you guys have come up with.
Yeah.
Well, those songs, each one of those songs were, what, like 75 minutes long?
A lot of jam sessions available far apart from online.
Oh, yeah.
Those
jam sessions are like a heroin den. They're totally different than the album. So
that is like literally just studio time with lots of absinthe and what have you.
I'm super excited that you guys have something that I can actually point to now, because I've been trying to explain Fart Barf and you really can't get an understanding unless you go see them live.
I still want it to be live. I want people to go live.
Yeah, you got to go live.
Need to be there and experience the whole Fart Barf.
The first time my friend ever went, he climbed up a pole and got kicked out of that place in Hermosa.
Oh, yeah.
The studio.
Oh, the studio.
That's what he inspired in people the first time. And he was on no substances except like 2 beers.
And you know what?
And Fart Barf.
If you quit drugs... I know it's kind of cliche, but there's this feeling comes over you when you're seeing Fart Barf where it's definitely altered state of mind. It definitely is like hallucinogens. It is.
Well, we turned the volume up so loud, it's just you.
Wait, you quit drugs since last week?
No, if.
Oh.
I'm not me. I still do everything. I'm down.
Okay,
cool.
I genuinely am going to feel uncomfortable that I brought up that whole analog thing.
No, why?
And I was just reviewing in my head all the stupid shit I've said to people in my life, and I remember the time I made fun of Tom Jones to his face for a picture in his program, and then I just stood there as he stared at me, and I just wanted to, like, I'm just going to go fucking pepper spray
myself. No, I mean,
we're
an all analog band that had to, unfortunately, crush our stuff down into a digital format, but...
Hey, Tom Jones is playing with Morrissey.
Yeah, he's opening for him.
That's kind of strange, huh?
No, they're friends. I saw Morrissey with Tom. I mean, Tom played the Troubadour a couple of months ago. Morrissey was there, and that's kind of where they were going.
How are all the homies going to take to Tom Jones? That's going to be
weird.
Why
do the homies love Morrissey?
It's one of the greatest mysteries of life.
Apparently, he's very similar to like the great Spanish music singers. Like,
yeah, he said the romanticism he sings about.
Yeah.
Well, I think he started, like, didn't he, I mean... I love Morrissey, and I don't mean him any disrespect by saying it, but didn't he start...
He's afraid of the homies.
Didn't he sort of start falling off and then embrace that crowd
and then
got like a resurgence from it?
I've heard that. He had a little bit of a kick there, and he kind of started pandering towards that audience.
Yeah, and he even started touring down there more, and he made a song, I think, called Mexico as well. So
he does have
something.
Wow. Yeah.
So I think it just kind of benefited
him. Yeah, the song's called Mas Dinero, Por Favor.
Pretty much.
Mexico. So, one day Farbar's going to have a song called Hermosa, and we're going to play nothing but reggae jams.
Yeah, we're going to play white boy
reggae.
You
say so many great things, Josh. So many great things, stupid. But they don't happen.
You guys did do a cover one night during one of your sets, and it blew my goddamn mind, and I can't remember what it was.
You do a lot of covers.
We know what it is.
Oh,
We've only done three covers.
You did Play That Funky Music.
No.
Yeah.
Negative. Yeah.
Were you guys doing a wedding?
No. What did we do? We did Hungry Like the Wolf.
I was at a show where you did Hungry Like
We did.
That was pretty tight.
We did.
Black Sabbath.
Yeah, Black Sabbath.
Iron Man.
And we, no.
No, Black Sabbath. Black by Black Sabbath. Sabbath.
Oh, Black Sabbath.
Yeah. We do them on Halloween, that's it.
And
Archangel. Samhain.
Oh, yeah, Archangel. Yeah.
Samhain.
The Samhain song where we dressed up like the Misfits. Or Samhain, I guess.
How'd you do that? With the monkey? Did you put blood on your face and like have big devil locks?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it was like early.
It's like a devil lock.
Did the fishnet shirt. Yeah, and the sparring gloves.
Yeah. All right, so you've been Cobra Kai.
No, we've been Cobra Kai.
Right, for Halloween. You've been now Samhain. We just established that.
Sabbath, we did druid robes.
Yeah. Full hooded robes. With
okay.
Right. And we, you know, just
now, I think
really
the first
dark.
Year we were just ourselves. Yeah. It was anticlimactic.
It's kind of strange doing a costume on top of a costume for people that haven't seen us. It's like, what the hell's going on here? So.
Well, there's a lot of
that's like some next level shit.
Ice cream truck, man.
It must be great when people go and see you on Halloween for the first time, and then they go to another show, and they're like, oh, they still wear the mask.
Yeah, it's still
exactly.
happening.
Yeah, Halloween,
you
guys totally just fit in. So it's like the norm,
Yeah, it's no fun. We were thinking about just not wearing anything and just... going with a t-shirt for Halloween.
You've been Ice Cream Truck Man, right?
Oh,
which
yeah.
is
oh,
the
yeah,
kind
I
of a go-to.
That, right?
Astronauts.
Jacques Cousteau.
Oh, yeah. The aquarium show.
You guys were Jacques Cousteau at the aquarium. Or you own Zizzo, really?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
but he was being Jacques Cousteau, so you guys were...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There was the like military, like the... Not fatigues, but that, like the dress. They're like beige with the short sleeves.
Oh yeah, what the hell were those?
It was like Marines, like what they'd wear, but like not like the super fancy outfit.
This guy's totally seeing a different band.
You guys are really bar,
It was the night that you guys played that funky music, Monkey Boy.
We did have different variations of the Milkman outfit, where they were just different colored. I think
we had
a blue, a gray, a white, tucked in. We look like orderlies.
Right.
So. Another great thing about Farparf is every time I see you guys sound different because... depending on the size of the room, obviously, and also the humidity, those synthesizers are like different instruments every time I see you guys.
Yeah, do you know how to repair those things?
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, a little bit.
One of them's going to
One
of them's going to Moog in a day or two.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a pain in the ass.
Get it taken care of.
So the guys over at Moog know you guys pretty well.
They will shortly.
They're gonna.
Now, are there any other bands that have... I can't, off the top of my head, by no means do I know much about music, other than Ween, Duran Duran, Depeche Mode, Cure.
Yeah.
You guys. But are there other bands that have the two synths and percussion in the middle?
Not that I can think of offhand. Nah. You know?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Not that exact.
Maybe like a keytar and the synthesizers?
I mean, there must be somewhere out there, but...
I don't know. No, I'm just making.
Right now, there's one guy in his car going, it's my man! God fucking damn it!
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is, but we haven't seen him.
Yeah. We're not really well-versed in synthesizer music, are we?
No.
You kind of are.
Yeah, I guess we are now. We're in our own little bubble, though. It's like a lot of people, like you're saying, they come up to us after a show, and they're like, I hate this kind of music, but I love you guys. And
I don't hate that kind of music. It was just pitched to me as it didn't sound appealing.
Yeah, it was Tyler.
I love Weird Al, but I don't want to go see a joke band.
Yeah,
and then,
right.
And I was honestly just mesmerized. I went, the music is so great.
It was Tyler and I on this show trying to... Yeah. convince, no offense, but like, oh, we call him Old Man Carano when it comes to music sometimes, because he thinks that like computer music is just like one of those things where you just like put in data.
I do
and then
think
it just
that. I'm standing by it and fuck. I don't give a shit how many listeners fucking send me their bullshit tweets. I don't think it's music.
I thought about this, Mike.
I'm
so
sticking
are
to
you
it.
Saying like composers aren't musicians? No. So like Beethoven.
What I'm saying is,
Beethoven just wrote down.
What
the
I'm
notes
saying
on
is,
paper.
Playing samples is you're not a musician. That's what I'm saying.
He's got a problem with girl talk.
But if they compose those samples,
I don't want to think about it too much.
My head hurt.
Yeah, it makes me mad on a weekly basis. I think about your position on this, and it makes me mad in traffic.
I didn't mean to bring it. You can't. Mike's not going to let go of that. He
no, I'm not going to let go. Daft Punk are not musicians. Mm-hmm. I've heard those songs. It's a fucking loop playing over and over the same shit that they didn't even come up with. It came up a 70s
band.
Yeah,
like I've seen it.
How do you guys feel about that?
I don't know.
You don't have to dig yourself in a hole. I don't care. People are already going to send me threatening.
No, I mean, that's partially why when we started, we were like, we got to have live drums. It's got to be loud. It's got to feel like a band, because I've seen Aphex Twin do his DJ set. I've seen Amon Tobin, who I also loved that guy, but seeing him was boring as all hell. And I don't even know who else does that. There's
bunch of stuff. I love Kraftwerk, and he had an extra ticket, and I was like, you know, you watch the stuff in the 70s, and they're like really
amazing.
Playing it out, and it's awesome. I was like, but I've seen like their DVDs in the 80s. I was like, that's four dudes checking their email. I don't want to see that. Like,
you can do it in your bedroom.
Like, yeah, 84, they had internet.
At least, you know. So like I was like, I love to see them play those albums that I like, but I don't know that they're really playing it. And if they are, it's like they're, you know, it's not.
Yeah. Which album did you see?
Well, we went the first night, and that was Autobomb, but it wasn't Auto. I swear to God, they played every song from every album.
They did the greatest hits.
I don't know what the hell
end,
was
right?
going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Autobomb.
But that 70s shit is so good. Like the BBC broadcast was like two guys playing drums where they're actually
There's
making the
that.
Connections with those wands, and it's like, man, I wish
it was
still that.
Let me back off my statement about electronic music. I'm not trying to say you guys suck who do it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I like bands. I like bands.
Yeah, it's a personal thing.
Not
I mean,
samples.
And that, another thing, like that Justice album, when that band Justice came out, it was just like, holy
album.
Crap, this sounds awesome. It sounded totally new and
I can't stop listening to Stress. Stress is. And my little sister turned me onto it. That's the, you know.
Stress, I think there's a Devo sample in that song.
The video. Have you seen the video for Stress?
No.
Holy fuck. No. It's just like a bunch of like these fucking young teenage dudes just. They're all black, but they're out just wilding and just beating the fuck out of everyone.
They're not wilding.
They're wilding.
That's rape.
They're absolutely wilding.
Well, wow. Don't see Justice live, because I did that and that
now
was
we're making, just ruins everything.
Now we're making friends.
Hey, they're in France. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm telling you, I love that band, but
what about
Atari Teenage Riot? They just sit there.
Atari Teenage Riot?
I saw them live too, and he hits play on a DAT machine.
What about Mindless Self-Indulgence?
Oh, they're cool.
What up, my little sister, again, turned me on to them.
I saw them get booed off stage when they opened for Slayer.
That'll happen. Yeah. I mean, you guys would get
booed
off stage.
Yeah, we get booed off stage with Slayer.
Everybody gets booed off stage with Slayer.
Yeah, they're cool.
For, like, Suicidal Tendencies.
Or the Butthole Surfers. Open for them, and everyone's going to throw bottles at you the whole time.
We expect bottles.
No, Gibby Haynes will come to your defense.
Don't encourage that.
No, I mean, we're just waiting for the
we're
Blues
the
Brothers moment.
Yeah.
I saw that dude come out with a shotgun and point it at the audience. Like, opening for Nirvana.
Yeah.
He came out with a shotgun.
I love them.
I was like, oh my, I didn't know how to do that. Oh my God. Yeah.
Butthole Surfers are the great. You know what? You got to see Butthole Surfers, Mindless Self-Indulgence, and Farf Barf before you die. No, but you guys.
You got to see Tom Jones, too, as I've been telling you guys
God.
For 3 years.
Tom fucking Jones, really?
Living legend.
Or just watch The Simpsons long
still,
enough and he
still
shows
gives
up,
it his all.
Guest appears on The Simpsons.
If you bring a girl to
see
Tom Jones.
Does he play
Jones,
What's That Pussycat?
Yeah.
But still? Like live?
He does everything, but he.
Oh, Christ. How do we get to Tom Jones?
I'm not
going to
get into this completely.
Oh, no.
No, he's
man. The coolest human being I've ever met in my entire life.
I could see that.
He took us back to his hotel room one night and just told us stories about Jimmy Page and about. Just then,
John Anderson was checking
out. One of the greatest moments I ever had, and I had the greatest first date any human being could ever have. I introduced my girlfriend to Tom Jones, she did not know who he is, didn't give a shit, and we got all these crazy comped tickets, and we went backstage, and Tom came over and didn't know me one fucking bit, and he just played it up, and he goes, "Hello, Michael, how's San Diego?" And I went, "This is my girlfriend, Rebecca," and he took her hand and went, "The pleasure's mine." Gave her a kiss. Like, greatest first date of all fucking time.
Wow. Yeah, but how
Jones.
Do you top that?
You can't.
Yeah,
you can't.
It's all downhill.
Yeah, she broke
neither for her. She's a lesbian now.
She's totally harsh. She's totally now.
She reached
case
the pinnacle.
Case in point,
good
question
times.
Mark?
Good times.
Yeah,
that's
we need
right.
to reach
I've got
Tom
financial
Jones
advice
status.
For people, too, if you want that one.
Well, the Christmas show we played last year in Hermosa, we had stockings sitting on front of our synth stands, and there was like
female underwear.
Yeah, we got some panties
in there at the end of the night. That's like Tom Jones.
Or female underwear. That's definitely Tom Jones level, I would think. Yeah.
It's more weren't even like extra large.
I think one of them was super ginormous. Okay. Like purposely.
There was a big one,
Yeah.
Now,
it's kind of a hindrance that you have to lug that stuff home now.
Yeah. Who was carrying around just big joke underwear with them?
Massive, enormous woman who went out the back door without underwear. Yeah, that's who had it. But if I had to explain, if I had to like sum you guys up, you guys are like what the future of music should be. Like we should have more bands look like you and sound like you.
We
should have evolved into something like
this. I'm sorry to be argumentative. I don't think they should be
from
like
Tom Jones.
I think people should follow their path and do what they want to do more.
Exactly.
Which instead of just have... everyone sounds like the same old
I think that's
K-Rock.
I think that's
no offense.
Good advice.
Whoa!
No offense. I know. I'm sorry I said that. But you know, every K-Rock
stress
band
and K-Rock
kind of
are very upset. Not stress.
But I think people should do whatever they feel like doing.
We love Justice.
Instead of...
Farbarf was going to open for Justice at the K-Rock
there
concert.
Goes that.
But
that,
that's
yeah.
Done.
Yeah, there goes that.
K-Rock concert. Sorry. Which really sucks because everything that their label, Ed Banger, does, we strive to get that
excellent
sound.
Oh,
but what can you do? They're great studio musicians.
Yeah, Mr. Roy's, though.
Have you had any catastrophic failures during a show?
Yes.
Did the other night at the Old Town Pub.
Are a catastrophic failure, guys.
Welcome to the app disaster.
When something just goes dead?
No, it was like I had problems with my my ears. They disconnected, and then I was hearing it after it was bouncing off the back wall. So then things were going a little out of sync, and then at the same time I broke something or broke a stick.
Do you ever just have to just focus and act like you're playing by yourself and just go, fuck it, just got to get through because you can't hear anything?
That's kind of what I did.
That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah,
I think that's the
often.
First time that ever happened with the monitors going bad.
What's harder, seeing through the masks or singing through the masks?
Seeing doesn't happen and singing
at
doesn't
all?
Either.
We don't see anything. Half the time we're playing with our eyes closed.
And if you're close enough, you can see that because you see through the eye holes and you just see forehead or hair.
Forehead. But if you look through your nostril, you might see an eyeball.
Yeah, you guys have seen that.
Oh, yeah, that's
but
the
for
old
the
ones.
Most,
your
the
old
most,
ones
for
like
the most
that.
Part, I just shut my, try to shut my eyes.
Did it occur to you to do any like mic tests in the studio to see if you need to wear the masks?
No.
I don't know. Now you've had three different.
I'm just superstitious. I would be like,
masks,
I gotta wear the
masks. Are you guys like evolving or devolving? Have you put any thought into that? Like each mask is gonna go like,
masks?
like a little evolutionary.
We
kind
of took a weird twist with mask number two. After the original masks rotted away and turned into just piles
of goo.
The 40s
masks.
Yeah, those all 1940s. Went bad. I think we have a couple that we saved just.
We still have a set of those.
Yeah, we have a set of those, but we aren't gonna ruin those. And then the second set. We did some hunting online, found like a cheap custom mask builder.
Oh, cool. And that's the ones that you're wearing now?
No, this is set number two. And this is this
you
one
should
was
tell
really
them
bad.
Where hunting online for masks takes you, because it takes you to some weird denizen of the fucking
this one's made of skin.
You start looking for latex mask companies online, you'll find all sorts of fun stuff.
There's all kinds of cool stuff.
Full body
Remember
suits.
In the beginning, we were going to get those like
the S&M bondage hoods that you can inflate. No, they're better now. You can get inflatable ones where you like breathe through like a 12 millimeter breathing tube that looks like a straw.
Well, you're talking about the full like GIMP masks?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're way above and beyond just a regular GIMP
insane.
Isn't that defeating
now
the purpose
like,
though?
They
Isn't
look
the purpose
like a,
to be tortured?
They look like a black balloon on your head.
Yeah.
Like you can inflate them with a pump.
Yeah, so it's just like a big bulbous thing on your.
So it's like dead mouse, but like for S&M.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's.
I think
terrible.
I derailed you. Sorry, buddy boy.
Oh yeah, but masks number two. We had some. I found a place in Colorado. I think it was Colorado. They were able to do us some masks with minor revisions for really, really cheap. I think cheaper than what it cost them to actually do it. They're just like a fresh company, so they wanted to kick us down with a deal. And
plus, you guys are Farpar.
Yeah, so. Plus we're Farpar. Yeah. And they were made out of silicone, which doesn't breathe well at all.
You found that out the hard way?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I want to say we went through probably, I don't know, how many shows did we
probably play? Another 30 or 40.
Yeah, 30 or 40 shows. And after every, towards like halfway point, after every show, my eyes would literally start like bleeding. Like they were on fire after every show. And I could not figure out why. It was just... I had to like just douse them with Visine. I couldn't see.
It's punk rock, man.
Oh, it was bad.
It happens to me now with these ones. But.
Yeah, so
it sounds like Brian's begging to go maskless.
No, but at one of these shows, I think it was El Cid. A dude saw us up there, and he was talking to our merch guy. He's like, "Yeah, I see they're wearing masks. I want to talk to him about it because that's just what he does." And
besides partying super hard.
Yeah, he parties super hard.
PSH.
Yeah, he's friends with Andrew WK, and all he does is party. So this guy apparently works in the movie business, and all he does is special effects. He did, like, the Iron Man stuff and Pirates of the Caribbean, and we're sitting there talking. I was telling him, like, yeah, we've got these silicone-based masks, and they're burning my eyes after every show. I cannot see. And he's looking at me with red eyeballs, and he's like, dude, he's like, stop wearing those masks now. They're... Basically, the reason why they were so cheap is they used the wrong kind of silicone made with heavy metals that every time we sweat, it leaches into our skin.
Oh, that's so, so when he said the cancer thing earlier...
Yeah, that was real. That's why we got really quiet over here. Like, sorry. We're literally going to die from mask number two. So after that, we hired him to kind
of... Yeah, I like how you just bought it, like hook, line, and sinker. I mean, this guy's a competitor who's looking for your business.
True.
Those monkey masks are going to
kill you. I got a card for my new mask company I'm starting tomorrow.
Right now.
Right. So make your dick bigger, smarter.
So then you moved on to three, which is what you're wearing now, which are like the hairier...
Yeah, yeah, they're like more like the originals. They're like more modeled after what the originals.
Yeah, we
like.
Wanted
that's number two or more like the.
They look more Geico, dude. Sure, they look a little too like, weird, real.
They weren't Neanderthal-ish, creepy like 50s. They're more. Yeah, something about them was off.
They just look like grandpa or something.
They smelled like grandpa too. Yeah.
Do you know and or have you met Mark Mothersbaugh?
Yes.
This guy.
Who is it?
He got a phone call from
Mark last week, which is...
Who is this Mark you speak of?
Okay, Mark.
Devo.
Yeah, he's the lead singer frontman of Devo. So.
Yeah, because you were working with their producer at one point, right? One of the producers.
What the hell were we doing?
That's what I heard.
We've all got...
I heard
this. I don't know. We played like these shows in Cleveland. It was kind of like an annual show called The Devotional, where it's kind of like a bunch of nerds get together that are
it's
Devo
like the Juggalos,
fans,
but like not nearly as dangerous.
Yes. Exactly.
When you say nerds, say nerds, we are included, though. That's
very true.
Anyone who doesn't think much dangerous.
Yeah.
American Juggalo, short film.
It's so good.
It's fantastic.
It really is. It's one of the greatest things you'll ever see.
It's beautifully shot, and it sums it up 100%. I've had several friends go do that festival, and they all came back and went...
You shouldn't do that, but you should watch the movie.
Yeah, we should watch the video.
We'll get stabbed.
You don't have to go to the... So, you're in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. We played just a bunch of these. I want to say we did three of them. Now we're actually going to do another one this year.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of dedication to the band Devo and how their influence on music today and... how they were pioneers and stuff like that.
Right.
So they played like a huge role in Fart Barf too. Devo did.
I would think so.
Are you going to do a Devo song?
Like a cover song?
We started one a long time ago that we never finished, but I don't know.
People
would do it.
Fucking eat it up, but you guys probably don't want to like do an injustice, right? You don't want to like do anything to...
we're kind of so similar. It'd be kind of weird. Like the cover songs that we choose to do, we want to...
make sure they're different
like
enough.
That, that's why we're covering Black Sabbath.
If we want to put our own kind of ring on things,
right.
We'll do Sabbath or maybe some Slayer or some Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Like Wes Borland, who has been a guest on Loveline a number of times.
Okay.
He's a super great guy. I like that guy a lot. And that's why it doesn't surprise me at all when I see him at your shows often. Have you guys worked with him at all? Or does he want... I know he's been on stage with you before, right? Wearing one of the
we
masks.
We actually went on tour with his... side project or his band called The Black Light Burns.
Right. He was in here promoting that a few years ago, which I love that album that I got from him.
Yeah, they're kind of industrial, dark industrial rock.
Nothing against Fred, but he was like the only reason why I could stomach a Limp Bizkit at the time, which I'm sure a lot of people say.
Oh,
but
that is something against Fred.
Yeah.
When you say nothing against him.
At the time, I say that because now I'm kind of...
Nothing against Marie Callender's, but their pies fucking make me sick.
I come to Fred's defense now. I like him as a filmmaker.
No
he
offense.
Actually, he made a couple actually one really really good movie Fred did as a director, so I like Fred, and I think the poor guy, he takes a bum rap to some extent. I mean, he's an easy target, so that's why I said that. The Education of Charlie Banks is a very good movie, and he directed it.
I didn't know he directed.
I did not know that either. Limp Bizkit, they're like the most hated band of the 90s,
but they were the most loved, and then everyone turned on them, much like the Biebs. Everyone needs to lay off the fucking Bieber because he's great. Next week we're gonna get some Bieber audio.
I kind of feel that way about Insane Clown Posse. Is that bad? I mean, I don't know a lick of their songs. I don't know anything about them, but I remember reading this article that said that they basically did everything themselves, like no one wanted anything to do with them, so they started those festivals,
right?
Yeah. And it's like, ethically, like, that's kind of badass, but I mean, I don't give a shit. I'm sorry.
No,
I mean,
I don't
really want to listen to them or anything, or and you know.
I know.
It just seems like they built it from the ground up. It's like more power to
Violent
them.
Violent J is like a really, really business savvy.
Yeah, you can kind of get that.
I'm like, not so sure about
like
Shredder.
Like I said, I don't know anything about their songs yeah. or anything. It doesn't,
you're cool.
I didn't either. I knew Tyler. Nothing about them. Then I met him here on this show, and I thought they were cool, nice guys. I thought they were sweet, and I dig the fact that they did what you just said. Like, they built it all themselves.
Yeah, it's like they did it all themselves. I can't really knock them for that.
Them and Fago.
Annie DeFranco.
Fago.
Oh. Now you've heard some, Brent.
Thanks. Really I listen to that. But I've seen miracles. I bet they recorded that on 2-inch. And I see
miracles. Oh, damn.
This is actually the tearjerker on this album. It really is.
Is this the one that's like science? What's science?
Yeah. That's okay. The first time
it worked.
We played that nonstop for during every single break, like four times during the break.
The
for
last
about 2 months.
We were kind of obsessed on that with album. The last track on that album is about getting all their people together and killing everybody in the stadium. Like, not their people, but all these other people. Just nice. Getting everybody together with the promise of free money and then just nuking everybody.
That's wow. awesome.
And oh, I listened to that drunk one night driving home from here.
Oh.
I don't drink and drive anymore, as
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's bad.
like 15 times all the way, an hour drive home.
That's good, Mike.
You listened to that whole album?
Numerous times. He got into it. Like, for
I
real.
Got into it that first night.
That's how much he was drinking back then.
Yeah.
Good times.
I found a side of myself.
So
I didn't
they've
know
been
existed.
In here though,
in St. Well, Corona,
yeah.
Love Line and
the
stuff.
The story goes now they're not really anywhere because they're not allowed to leave the state of Michigan. That's the last I heard.
Wow.
But yeah, they've been on this show two or three times. They're some of my favorite guests ever. And like you, I don't know their music really.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know them at all.
As far as on air personalities, they are fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I heard them on the Stern show.
They're great on Stern, and they were great on Love Line numerous times. So, Tyler, you got to start playing some music because that. After show's about to get going here, and we gotta.
And they came in full makeup too.
Unlike Fart Barf, who's not wearing their masks right now, and it's very strange.
We're just the roadies.
There's no video.
The roadies.
Yeah, we're just speaking for
Fart Barf left. Fart Barf left after Loveline.
You guys, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
We're absolute fans.
I thought for sure we're gonna spend 10 minutes on Fart Barf and then try and take you down the rabbit hole as the after disaster and start talking about all sorts of horrible random shit. But you know what? Fart Barf lent itself to the entire hour long.
You did a nice job too.
Who would have known?
We'll be here every week.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, free del taco and coffee.
You can come back anytime.
So, go buy the album.
But where else can people? Because I looked on iTunes tonight to see if it was on iTunes.
It's on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, Amazon. Okay.
But it wasn't on iTunes as of like 6 o'clock, so it will be.
It will be. I think it's queued to go April 1st. So
now, are you really limiting the LPs to 500?
Yeah. No, 500 of each color.
500 red, 500 white.
Yeah, so there's only 1,000 of them.
Then there'll be a different
and that's
color
it.
If we repress them. Well, we won't be going through the same company, obviously.
Yeah.
Because that was a fucking mess. Yeah.
Buy those now. Like, was it The Residents? That band with the big eyeball?
Yeah, The Residents.
Their shit goes for like $600-$700.
Yeah, that's why we're keeping like four of them each.
You should do that for your little nest egg for retirement.
You get $2,400.
I'm sure my glow-in-the-dark Phil Collins picture disc is worth something now.
Oh, I love Phil Collins.
You want to buy us a studio glow in the dark?
Yes.
Kind of.
Well, split it?
Yes.
I look forward to walking. Like, I picture myself being like 60, 70 years old and walking into like a bar. I'm still going to be drinking. And there's going to be some punks up on stage with two synths and a drummer in the middle, and they're going to be called Toot Puke.
Oh, yeah.
They're totally just ripping you guys off. I'm like, I know the original.
This is dedicated to Taylor. That Fart Barf rest in peace.
All right, guys, enjoy this rest of this half-free song, Fart Barf, but go out and buy it and go see them live. Even
Thank
better.
You.
Thanks.
Thanks for Thanks, coming, guys.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Night, maybe it was life. One night, just even.
a must-read for...